Mrs. White begins her work at the session. Weary from the journey, Ellen White retired early, then woke up at 10 o'clock. PM her mind turned to the subjects that she should present at the meeting. In vision she was instructed to speak clearly about the Living Temple controversy. The next morning she did just that. She declared, "I am so sorry that Living Temple came out as it did, and was circulated, and the worst of it, that which struck right to my heart, was the assertion made regarding the book. It contains the very sentiments that Sister White has been teaching. When I heard this, I felt so heartbroken that it seemed as if I could not say anything." She told her audience that silence was eloquence when it came to discussing God, what He is, and where He is. When you are tempted to speak of what God is, keep silence, because as surely as you begin to speak of this, you will disparage Him. The Union Conference session moved forward in the usual way, with reports, committee work, and elections. But Ellen White's concentration was on the crisis for the salvation of souls. On Thursday night, the 19th, she was again given a vision. The next day she wrote a message to Elders Daniels and Prescott in which she said that she had been strongly impressed that now is the time to save Dr. Kellogg. She said a determined effort must be made and urged that Dr. Kellogg be called to the meeting. In this letter she wrote, "Not one of us is above temptation. There is a work that Dr. Kellogg is educated to perform as no other man in our ranks can perform. We are to draw with all our power, not making accusations, not prescribing what he must do, but letting him see that we are not willing that any should perish." She asked, "Is it not worth the trial?" She said that Satan was drawing the doctor. In her vision she had seen someone slipping down a precipice, a company was looking on indifferently, making no effort to save him. But one hand, the hand of Christ, was stretched out, and the man was rescued. Then she heard Christ speaking, telling the ones who were watching that they must look to him and not to this man, Kellogg, that they should take heed to themselves. She heard Christ appealing to Dr. Kellogg to put on Christ. She heard Kellogg exclaim, "I am sinful, but he hath covered me with his own righteousness, and henceforth I will go in the strength of the Lord God." Confessions by others followed. The letter was written on Friday, May 20, copied by Maggie Hare the same day, and on the same day copies were given to Elders Daniels and Prescott, as well as to David Paulson and Edson White. Dr. Kellogg was urged to come to Berrien Springs. He arrived on Sabbath, May 21. During the conference session, subjects were presented having a bearing on pantheism. Kellogg and his cohorts engaged actively in the discussions. What went on behind the scenes was opened up to Ellen White in vision, and of this she said, "In the scenes presented to me, I saw men talking together between the meetings about the mistakes and faults of their brethren. Interlineation by EGW, many things were not real mistakes, only in their own minds." Mrs. White had looked for a break in the situation over pantheism and Dr. Kellogg, but the matter had not turned out as she had hoped. The experience was a dark and disappointing one. After the Berrien Springs meeting there was a strong effort on the part of Dr. Kellogg to draw some of the leading workers to Battle Creek for continued discussions on the question of the Living Temple.
W. C. White and A. G. Daniels resisted this effort, and Ellen White supported them in that resistance, 24 WCW, pages 24, 25, 25 WCW, pages 280-282.